The Gospel of John, 15, chapters 15, and we're going to read just a beginning passage here in the Gospel of John. So if you find your way there, we're going to talk for this first 3 weeks in our previous services about branch life. What's life going to be like at the branch? What are some of our values that we want to hold to as we grow as a church, as we express the body of Christ in this community? What's that life going to be like? And so Jesus talked about that right here in John 15. Chapter 15, verse 1, I'll start reading. Follow along. I am, Jesus says, I am. This is one of the I am statements, by the way, of the Gospel of John. I am. He said, I am the door. Remember? He said, I am the bread of life, right? He says, I am right here, the true vine. He brings up an image for us. And he goes on to say, my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me and I also loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. What an awesome passage. And a passage from which we derive a little bit of our identity, our name, the branch. Jesus was using a word picture that was very familiar to the people at that time, to his disciples, and I was supposed to be familiar to most of us living in some parts of this country where there's lots of vineyards, all right? Hopefully we can relate a little bit to the vine and the branch and the vineyard imagery here. This was a central understanding. Grapes were very much a part of Israel's economy at that time. In fact, the grapevine was a symbol that of the nation of Israel. It was actually on their coins before the Romans came and overthrew and took captive the nation or Israel. So this was something that was understood by the people of the time. And what's the operative word that Jesus uses over and over and over in these 11 verses? In fact, 11 times in 11 verses, he uses this word translated in the NASB as abide. Now, if you're using another translation, maybe there's some other translations of that particular word. A rendering the New International gives it is the word remain. Or sometimes the word continue is used. At other times, the word keep. An understanding of dwell. This word abide is a very important word in this passage. It's very important to what we would understand about branch life today. Branch life, friends, is an abiding life. Okay? The Christian life is an abiding life. Jesus makes that abundantly clear right here in this passage. A passage which we would serve us well to understand, and perhaps we would come to even a reminder of that understanding today, or perhaps a better understanding of it today as well. So I want to ask two questions about this. I want to ask, why abide? And I want to ask, how do we abide? Jesus, in what he says here, gives answers to both those questions. Okay? He gives answers to both those questions. So let's ask, why abide? five reasons Jesus gives. The first reason is because abiding is a key to fulfilling our purpose. What's our purpose? What's a branch's purpose? The branch of a vine is to bear fruit. Exactly. That's what Jesus is saying here, to bear fruit. That's the branch's purpose. And so abiding is the key to bearing fruit. I don't know about you, but I want my life to make a difference. I want there to be some outcomes, some results of my living in my life, and I'm sure you're the same, where there could be some productivity. You know, don't you feel good after a hard day of work? You've produced something. There's some fruit, we would say. We enjoy that. It's part of really how we're made. We're kind of hardwired to do that. Wouldn't Jesus say that? The branch is hardwired to produce fruit. And so we're hardwired in that same way. He's telling us, as followers of him, as people really that are made in the image of God and recreated in the image of Christ, we're going to be fruit bearers for him. And so it's a key to producing fruit. If you look at verse 2 with me again, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what happens? He takes away. Okay? And then he moves on and says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. And then look down at verse 5, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. See the progression from no fruit to fruit to more fruit to much fruit. So could I say clearly to each one of us here today that Jesus wants that for you. He wants that for you. It's the reason that you're to abide. You're to abide. That as a branch, you're to abide in the vine. That's Jesus Christ. He's a true vine. That's the reason. If you want to have some great outcomes and great results in your life, and when I think about those kinds of outcomes and results, I don't think about necessarily how much money I'm going to make in my job or my business. Although those are kind of nice fruits, aren't they? Everybody say yes. Yeah, and so, but I think more about, I want my marriage to bear good fruit. I want my kids to bear good fruit. I want to have them receive from my life that which might be helpful to them. I want to have great results in friendships that I would have in my life, and I'm sure you're the same way about that. Those are more important results or produce of our lives, aren't they? Wow. What's fruit all about? That's one of the questions that comes up with this passage, right? What do you mean by fruit? Well, I would suggest two things you might mean by fruit. One would be character fruit. In fact, there's another passage that where Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's another one, meekness or gentleness and self-control. Nine of them. And that's fruit of our character. That's character growth. You know, one of our values is to grow. And we can't grow without being connected or abiding in the vine. And so we're going to grow. And as we grow, that fruit just happens. This fruit of God's working. The Spirit comes through the vine into the branch to produce the fruit. We're going to be hard-pressed to produce fruit on our own. We're going to struggle, and it ain't going to work so well in trying to produce fruit on our own. But as we abide, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Character fruit. Well, it was perhaps another fruit too. Jesus said, before he took off to heaven, the ascension, he said, go and make disciples. He gave us a mission. And that mission includes reaching people, see, to make disciples. It means reaching people, not just immediately around us, perhaps the other side of the world in some cases. We're to pass along the faith. We're to share it. We're to let people know this news, which is good news and sometimes a bad news world. That's what we're to do. And as a result of that, and God working with that, some people are going to say, yes. and they'll want Jesus Christ the same way that probably every one of us in this room has said yes to Jesus at one point in our lives. There are other people just like us where we were in some place that said yes, and they become this, could I say it, fruit, in part from you being a branch connected to Jesus Christ. So that's kind of the way I look at it, a couple ways that we might look at fruit that's happening around us. There's a big word today that's used in our world. It's called distraction, isn't it? When you're behind the wheel of a car and ding. In fact, there's even, this has gone around on Facebook, I think, where there's someplace, I don't think it's in America, but someplace in a foreign country, they're teaching people to drive, and one of the mandates in their training around the cones of a parking lot is that they have to text and drive. In order to pass, in order to get your license, they have to text and drive. It's going around on Facebook. Somebody make that go a little more viral for the rest of us. And what happens is they are so distracted that it becomes so frustrating they can't drive straight. They can't make it around the cones, and they crash and burn everything. And then the instructor in the car says, that could have been a kid you just killed. There's distracted driving, and then, friends, there's distracted living, isn't there? At least there has been in my life. Or I get distracted with things that are going on, and I lose some of my purpose to produce spiritual fruit, to produce fruit that, as a result of my connection to Jesus Christ. And sometimes damage occurs, perhaps to other people and perhaps to myself, because I get so distracted. There's an interesting story that's told. I don't know whether it's true, but maybe it's based on a true story. That always helps. Where a couple of sternwheeler boats, paddle boats, left Memphis, Tennessee about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River. And of course, this is over 100 years ago now. And they were traveling down to New Orleans. And they passed, traveled side by side. And similarly to some of you that might get in a car and traveling side by side with your friend, it's kind of like, you know, and we, you know, it's just kind of this little competitiveness. And then maybe you roll down the window and you start trash talking the other one, right? Some of you get that? Okay, all right. Trash talking the one going beside you. And these two sternwheeler boats were trash talking each other. Says, oh man, you got a slow moving, snail paced kind of ship over there. And they get going, words are exchanged, and pretty soon challenges are made. So they're both going down the river to the same destination. And guess what? A race breaks out. Now, these aren't racing boats, but, you know, you can race about anything if you're competitive enough, right? And so they started to become vicious as the competition increased. And so these two boats began roaring through the deep south. One boat, though, began falling behind because it didn't have enough fuel. Now, it had enough fuel to make it with its cargo to its destination, but it didn't have enough fuel to race. So one got behind, and an industrious sailor aboard that particular sternwheeler decided that, hey, some of this cargo we have on board can burn in the ovens, stoke in the fire for the as much as the other fuel we have. So let's start burning some of this cargo up. And boom, because it was, you know, so competitive, we'll go to great measures and extremes sometimes when we get distracted. And so they started to burn. Now, they won the race because they burned up their cargo and they had more fuel, an abundant of fuel, and they won the race. But what had they taken their eyes off of? The very purpose of their trip, to bring cargo from Memphis to the people wanting to receive that cargo in New Orleans. They lost track of their purpose. Can that happen as we live out our days on earth, as people get distracted by life all around us? There's so much out here to do, and there's so much really good things to do. And it becomes sometimes a prioritization of the good and the better, or the better and the best. And it's really not sometimes a choice of what's really bad and what's really good. So we have to really be discerning about this. And so Jesus gives us this incredible image of abiding, abiding, abiding. And so why do we abide? Because it's the key to our purpose of bearing fruit. It's the key to it. It's a big one that Jesus talks about here. A second one, though, just to kind of, you know, get us to understand what Jesus was trying to do, to give some motivation as to why to stick and continue and to remain with me, disciples. He just came out of the greater context of these guys being all troubled and concerned in John 14 because Jesus was saying, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you guys. Now, he'd been their leader for 3.5 years, and he was awesome, and he had all this stuff. He could do miracles. It was incredible. And then he was saying he's going to leave, and it troubled those guys so much. And so what's Jesus doing here? It seems, even though they might have left one spot and moved to another, he's saying, hey, consider this vineyard over here. Look at this. I am the true vine. You're the branches. Abide in me. Abide. Remain in me like those branches are. That's how they got the fruit. Remain in me. And so a second reason why abide is our prayers will be answered. Look at verse 7 quickly with me. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I believe whatever you wish means whatever you wish in accord with my will, it will be done for you. But there's some prayer power connected with our abiding. And if you ever feel like your prayers are bouncing off heaven's floor, not getting in, are you abiding? Would be a good question to ask ourselves. Am I really abiding with Jesus? And I think it's a good one to ask because there seems to be some assurances of answered prayer that come with and are abiding in the Lord. A third one, why abide? God the Father is glorified, verse 8. God the Father is glorified. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Now remember who the Father is. He's the vine dresser or the gardener of the vineyard. And I'm a terrible gardener. Don't you smile too loudly. Don't laugh especially, honey. Anyway, so I don't have hardly any pride in whatever I put in the ground to try to grow. But I know some people that I'll tell you what, their gardens are amazing. How many of you are amazing gardeners? Go ahead. I'm going to come over and check out your garden. And you will boast about your garden. You'll say, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this big old pumpkin that's growing right now. And look at this over here and all the fruit off of this. I think God likes to do that with us, don't you think? Yeah, I think he does. Look at my servant Job. He's abided in me. Look at my servant Job. God likes to do that, I believe. He's glorified in our producing fruit. We produce fruit when we abide. Why abide? Because it'll just bring pleasure to God. He'll just be thrilled about what's going on earth through you. And then look at another one here. Well, why abide? I'm going to go on to number 4 here. It's in verse 8 as well. Just continue there. He says that you will bear much fruit. My Father's glorified that you'll bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. And so prove to be my disciples. Interesting concept. If we abide and we produce fruit, we're proving to be his disciples. As we make God happy through a fruitful vineyard, a fruitful branch that's bringing forth fruit. We're proving, in a sense, we're making real this idea that we're his disciples, almost like an assurance to ourselves and a witness to others that we're the real deal. Now, a lot of people call themselves, yeah, I'm a Christian. But is there any fruit? We need to look around because the fruit will let us know that we've been abiding and that we're a disciple of Jesus. Now, fruit doesn't come right away, and sometimes there's a season where there's growth before the fruit is produced. So don't beat up on yourselves, but abide. That's our key, is to abide. And as a result of that, there's some kind of assurance. You look at what it says in John 8, verse 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth. He's saying the same thing. The same word abide is here. What's rendered most of the time is remain or continue. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth will set you free. There'll be some results. But this idea of, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I think Jesus is wanting to make sure that we're clear about the test to follow him. That we're abiding, and therefore he's able to produce fruit through us. Cool, isn't it? I like that. And a last one here, reasons Jesus gives to abide. Verse 11, look what it says. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you, things about abiding. Why abide? Our joy will be full. We'll have a fulfilling life, a meaningful life, a satisfied life. There's something shalom about this. There's some kind of well-being in deeply resonating within our soul, no matter what comes externally in our lives. Wow, we've got this. It is well business going on. Because we've been abiding. Why abide? Well, just a few chapters earlier here, John 10, verse 10, look at this verse again. I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. One version says, to the full. That's what God wants for us. How does that happen? Well, our part is to abide. God will produce through us. He will bring all of the nurturing through that branch as we're connected to Jesus so that we can be fruit-bearing people to his glory and his honor. Ecclesiastes, I was talking to a group about this on Friday night, about how everything under the sun is meaningless, it's vain, it's futile, it's like chasing wind if we accept God. If we don't deal with life with the understanding that there is a God with an ordered universe and we're only a little bit of the slice of it and there's this big monster plan going on. If we don't have that cognition, we don't have that understanding, then life's going to feel empty. And Ecclesiastes, you know, through Solomon found, you know, the answer, of course. And it's about abiding, isn't it? Keep his commandments. Connect with God. This is what makes sense to life. And all of the junk that happens and all of the, you know, the extremes of life that we have to go through and live out. So I'm excited about abiding. This is branch life. If you ever need to check up on why do I want to just continue and remain connected to Jesus and whatever I go through, here's five reasons Jesus gives that I found in this short passage. Now, how to abide? To successfully abide. That is to continue, to remain, to dwell, to keep. Two thoughts I'll give you today. Follow Jesus' teachings. Verse 3, he says, you are already clean, he says, because of the word. You've kind of been pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. So the word got into the disciples. It changed them. Some junk was cut off that wasn't able to produce good stuff that God wants. It gets pruned out because through the word, we decide, oh, I need to not do that anymore. It's called repentance. And we decide to do some things that God calls us into. And that happens over time, and it's under God's grace. And there's this kind of growth that occurs, we call it. It's this growing seasons that we have in our lives because we're abiding in the vine, or in Jesus' words. That's what he said. Because of the word I have spoken, what Jesus said. And another place is verse 7, where he brings this up. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If my words remain in you, if they continue in you, if you keep my words, if those words are dwelling in you and you're meditating on them day and night, something's going to happen. You're going to be pruned. You're going to be more fruitful. Isn't that cool? And then look at verse 9 and 10 again, where it says, just as the Father has loved me and I also loved you, abide in my love. How do we abide in his love? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And that's the instruction that Jesus has given to us. We'll talk about a big one of those, a new commandment, the one of love, loving one another as he loved them. We'll talk about that next week. It's a branch. It's part of the branch life is love. And so we'll deal with that one a little bit next week. And so we are to follow Jesus' teaching. I like what Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, obedient to the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But look what it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. There's an abiding in the teachings of God, an abiding there. And on that law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. He grows. He produces fruit. And so, you know, Psalm 1, the psalmist takes and divides all people into two big groups, those who are abiding, we might say, in God, and those who are not. And there's a big contrasting picture. And prosperity in all in important ways comes from abiding in God. So I just would suggest, practically speaking, trying to abide in his word day by day. We're going to, if you come Sundays, you'll get the word. But day by day is probably, at least I need it every day. In fact, I need him every hour. Even more than that, right? All the time, we're abiding. So I just suggest a practical way is just to have a season with God. I call it my time with God every day, where we can be into his word, into some kind of devotional, whatever it is. We've got some reading plans and things like that that are available to you. I just, again, would implore you, urge you, I'll even nag you from week to week about, are you in the scripture every day? That's an abiding practice, which is extremely valuable to our lives. Now, secondly, another way how to abide is to see the positive in the trials of life. And I save the hardest one for last. Okay, so look at verse 1 and 2 again. I am the vine, my true vine. My Father's a vine dresser. That's important. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. That means he cuts something off of our life. Right? That would be kind of an analogy. So that it may bear more fruit. I have a grapevine at my house. You can come over and you can see it. You won't see any fruit on it. No grapes. Again, I told you already that I'm not a gardener. Okay. I don't really know what to do with a grapevine. So this thing flourished as far as all of its branches all over the ground back there. And they're just laying on the ground all over the place. Tons and tons and tons of leaves. I got grape leaves. I don't have one grape. Well, that's because grapevines would rather produce shoots and leaves than grapes. What does that say about us, maybe? I'll let you interpret that. They look lush and green, but they're not good for anything but making decorations, right? Grapevines must be pruned radically. And our lives sometimes must be pruned radically. Branches with no fruit must be removed so they don't draw nutrients from the grapes. Fruitful branches must be pruned back to produce even more grapes. Those are lessons from the vineyard, the grapevine. And so God says this in another place, James 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance or steadfastness, and yet steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I would suggest to us that trials, the testings, the struggles, the hardships of life, trying to see them with the eyes, through the eyes of the Father in heaven, and what might be happening to us, could it be used as a pruning for our lives? Could we consider that as something that could make us better? Could this be and have a positive effect toward greater fruit down the road? Wouldn't that be kind of a cool way to look at some of the trials that we go through? I don't like going through trials. I'll be the first. I'm the worst patient. if I'm in bed with some kind of a junk, don't say anything. Then it's just, I don't like it. None of us like it. But you know, it helps me get through stuff when I know that maybe there's going to be something good come out of this. Maybe because I want to be abiding in God and in Jesus, that maybe God can do something with this that'll have an outcome that'll be super positive down the way. And so I'd say, see the positive in some of the trials of life. Because I believe Jesus is giving us a message of hope right here, friends. Don't give up abiding, he's saying. Don't give up remaining in him. Don't give up continuing to follow him, no matter what comes. God is not going to leave us on our own as we abide. He wants to be the master gardener for us, caring for us. He's going to make us fruitful. God can do in us and through us, which we will not be able to do on our own. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. And so he wants us to abide. And he gives us reasons to abide, and he tells us how to abide so that he can make us more fruitful, bearing much fruit. There's an abiding practice we will do week to week here, and that's communion. And Robbie's going to come up and lead a song through communion as we take communion at these back two tables. I just invite you to get up out of your seats when the song is emerging, and you can, just with the worship around the words of that song, and perhaps some of the words from Jesus' record in John 15. You draw close to him today. You draw near to him today. You thank him. You consider this new place that God may be placing you right here at the branch. And you think, oh, God, I want to give thanks because you saved me. And in this season, you saved me to do something here in this community to reach people and bear fruit. Oh God, receive from us our thanks. Receive, God, our commitment to abide, to continue, to remain, to keep, to dwell with you. As we take communion, God, we praise you that Jesus abided with the Father all the way to the cross. In his name we pray.